The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be getting an overview of Ulster County Emergency Services. And we have with us Everett Erickson, who's Director of Ulster County Emergency Services. Everett has 18 years of experience in emergency services serving the residents of Ulster and surrounding counties. In addition to his role as the Director of Emergency Services for Ulster County, he's also a volunteer firefighter with the Highland Fire District and a police officer with the Town of Marlborough Police Department. And prior to coming to work for Ulster County as the deputy director and overseeing the Division of Fire Services, he served as chair of the Ulster County Fire Chiefs Association, assistant chief of the Highland Fire District, and an instructor for New York State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. Also joining us is Michael Madison, who's deputy director for emergency services and oversees the Division of Emergency Management. Michael holds a Bachelor of Arts in Homeland Security and Emergency Management from the University of Arizona and a graduate degree from the National Emergency and is graduate from the National Emergency Management Academy and the Emergency Management Institute, part of FEMA. Michael has over 25 years of experience in emergency services on the federal, state, and local levels. So, gentlemen, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. What is the Department of Emergency Services, and what exactly do you guys do?
So the mission of the Ulster County Department of Emergency Services is to provide the residents and visitors of Ulster County with a rapid access to an emergency response system that is professional, compassionate, and highly capable in order to save lives, protect property, and reduce the effects of disaster.
And according to the notes here, the department has four different divisions. Can you outline those for us and talk about what each of the divisions does and then how they integrate into the whole?
Yeah, absolutely. The department is a pretty large department. We handle a lot. It has four divisions, and there's some units within those divisions as well. So starting off, we have the Division of Emergency Communication, which is also known as the 911 Center. Ulster County only has one 911 center, which is known as the PSAP, Public Safety Answering Point. Anybody who calls 911 within the county, the number is diverted right to the Ulster County PSAP. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Division of Emergency Medical Services, which coordinates and interacts with the EMS agencies in Ulster County. We have the Division of Fire Services, which coordinates and works with the fire departments in the county. Then we have the Division of Emergency Management, which works with pretty much every agency, every department, every municipality within Ulster County. Mm-hmm. And although we do not have a division for law enforcement, like many other counties do, we do have a very close working relationship with the outstanding law enforcement agencies in Ulster County. We liaison with them on a daily basis. We work with their chiefs and their upper management to relay things down to their law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. Each division plays a crucial role in ensuring that emergency response system is working at the highest level of its capability to provide the best service to the residents and visitors of our county, coordinating with stakeholders of 48 fire departments, which one is career and the other 47 are volunteer. We are heavily reliable on volunteer fire departments in Ulster County. We then have 13 EMS agencies, which most of them are combination and a few are volunteer as well. We have 17 law enforcement agencies. There's 24 municipalities, whether that's village or county or city, village, town, or city government. And then we have the other individual departments within those municipalities. We have school districts, you know, those different authorities that mm-hmm. we interact with on a daily basis.
So when you mentioned that some of the other counties have law enforcement divisions, does that mean that they are under the auspices of like a sheriff, the whole package, including the emergency services?
No, some counties, the PSAP or the 911 center is under the sheriff's office, but that's very few. Most of them are separate and are under county government. But what I was referring to is that they'll have a deputy director that liaisons with law enforcement on a daily basis. We don't have that position.
Okay.
We have a deputy director for each division. We don't have a division of law enforcement, though.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, as a person who's always wondered about this myself, walk us through just briefly what happens when someone dials 911. What's the process?
So if I were to call 911 right now, they answer 911, what's the address of the emergency? The first thing that they want to do is obtain the address. So if you get disconnected, they're able to get some type of help out to you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people will call and like, my name is so-and-so and this is what's going on, which is all important information. But if we don't know where people are going or need to be sent and they get disconnected, then we're not able to send the assistance. So getting, you know, the location of the emergency out immediately is important. So they obtain that, then they get into the incident itself, what's happening. And, you know, it's all the dispatchers work together. It's a 24/7 operation. There's six dispatchers per shift, which is a 12-hour shift. So while the call is coming in and the dispatcher handling the phone call itself is obtaining information, other dispatchers in the room are seeing this and they're able to dispatch the appropriate resources, whether it be fire, police, EMS, or all three.
So there's no lag in time then, so because everybody's kind of like acting in concert.
Everybody's acting in concert. A lot of times people are like, I need help right away, and you know, they'll be asking questions or like, you know, get me help though, just get me help right now. And it's like, well, help is being sent simultaneously. It's just not one person taking the call and then hanging up and dispatching. Everything is happening simultaneously. The national average for processing a call and getting it dispatched is around 90 seconds. And we're doing it just above the average. So,
wow. And what happens, just God forbid, if, you know, some major disaster thing happens and you kind of get overwhelmed, or, you know, your guys get, you know, a lot of calls all at once? What happens then?
So, I mean, that's happened to us before. In our current facility that we're in, we only have 8 positions. We'll fill every single seat. And what happens is calls roll to other locations. You know, we're in the process of working on an updated backup center and new phone system to roll phone calls to Dutchess County, because we work off the same computer-aided dispatch system. We work off the same phone system, so we'll be able to roll calls between each other and take that information and easily share it. But, you know, it would roll somewhere until someone hung up. But our system tracks those calls of hangups, and we call every single one back. So if we had a storm where someone was calling 911 and we were overwhelmed, the system was overwhelmed, and the call was rolling to other locations, and then they said, you know what, this keeps on ringing, I'm just hanging up, it would note in the system that this 10-digit phone call came in, it didn't get answered. We go through every single one and call that individual back to obtain the information. And we would assign somebody to do that, that your responsibility is just to call these numbers back.
And do you dispatch then like the services directly, or do you have to, your guys have to call the local police departments or contact person in the fire department or whatever?
So we dispatch all 48 fire departments, the 13 EMS agencies, and we dispatch the the critical law enforcement calls that come in that need to be pulled to all law enforcement agencies in the county. So we dispatch them on our radio system. Every fire apparatus, EMS, ambulance, or police vehicle has our frequencies, and they're able to speak to us over the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not a critical incident, and you know, there's trigger points for that. Mm-hmm. That call would then be transferred to 10-digit to the local dispatch for that police agency. But all the fire departments and EMS agencies, they don't have their dispatch except for like the commercial agencies.
Right.
They'll have their own dispatch.
So if it's after hours or in the middle of the night, it just rings them on some specified phone number or something like that?
Where do you mean for
that? In other words, like in the middle of the night, there's a fire in such and such a town. The fire department is volunteer, not manned by anybody. How do you connect with those folks?
We send a page out.
We don't transfer a call.
Okay. Yeah, we page it out. We for fire departments, there's right. and US agencies, mm-hmm. there's pagers. Mm-hmm. So their pager activates, mm-hmm. and it's the tone sets off the Highland Fire Department or the New Paltz Fire Department.
Got
or
it.
The fire department. And they'll get paged, they'll get their information, they respond to the firehouse, and then they respond from there.
Great. This is really interesting, and I'm sure our listeners want to learn a lot more. But first, we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll come back and talk about your emergency management. We'll talk with Michael a little bit about that. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking about emergency services in Ulster County, an overview of Ulster County Emergency Services. Our guests are Everett Erickson. He's Director of Ulster County Emergency Services. And Michael Madison, Deputy Director of Emergency Services, who also oversees the Division of Emergency Management. So, Michael, on that note, let's take a look at emergency management a little bit more closely. What is it? What is it, and what is its role within the greater system?
Yeah, so emergency management is the function that is charged with creating the framework within the community and stakeholders to reduce vulnerability to hazards, respond to and recover from, and cope with disasters that are in the community.
Mm-hmm. And so give us an example of what some of those things are. Like are there sections within emergency management? Can you kind of go through what they are and what some typical kind of activities or things that you guys do within each?
Sure. So emergency management is made up of primarily four pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And they are preparedness, response, mitigation, and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of these pillars aim towards the planning process. So the emergency planning process is to prevent emergencies from occurring by having an efficient action plan for when they do happen,
mm-hmm.
or to assist in mitigating the results of those emergencies so we can have the least amount of destruction, casualties, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of those disasters that you referred to, maybe past and present? What are some examples of that? And can you kind of give us like a, you know, like a concise overview of like what a response plan might look at in something like that?
Sure. So one of the most recent disasters that we had here was last February, Ice Storm Landon, it was called, where we had the major power outages throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing there was activating the Emergency Operations Center, which is located at the Sheriff's Office, the Law Enforcement Center. And we started coordinating with all the first responders, DPW, utility companies, to make sure that we could get the roadways clear, get the power back on, and make sure that everybody was safe. And if they needed to be transported to a shelter or something of that nature, then we were able to get them there.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's that famous quote by, I think it was General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, who said, you know, plan is only as good as its first encounter with the enemy. So, I mean, the planning process, absolutely important, but I'm sure there are a lot of unexpecteds, right? Unplanned for things. How do you manage to corral all of the, you know, the players and really get them to, is there some kind of system of, you know, command or, you know, organizationally that you get, you know, a lot of different players from different organizations and cultures together on the same
page? Yes, there is. Yep. The first thing that we do is during the planning process, this is when we're going to meet all of these players or stakeholders, so that we're not going face to face with them and shaking hands and exchanging business cards and making introductions in the middle of a disaster. So most of the time we already know who we're going to be dealing with. We have their contact information in our Rolodex or cell phones, emails, things of that nature. And then inside the plan, we also have sections in the plan, so that way we know what level the incident may be and who needs to be called in at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get everybody into the command post operations center or wherever we're operating out of, we follow what we call ICS, the incident command system, where we have a commander, and then the commander oversees different functions and sections to make sure that we could coordinate the incident response and recovery phases.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, that system was put into place really after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, when the system really broke down, right? And a lot of things went wrong, you know, and not clear lines of authority and accountability and so on. Is that correct? Is that a correct understanding?
I mean, that was one of the major incidents that contributed to making sure that nationwide we went to a common language and that. But I mean, ICS has been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, and if you don't mind my asking, you know, you, even with all these plans in place and the, you know, extensive training that law enforcement and emergency responders go through, you still get situations like what, you know, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but what happened in Uvalde, you know, with the high school, the school under attack, and, you know, a lot of responders arriving there and nobody really knowing who was in charge or what was going on, you know, what they were supposed to do. Is that just an inevitability, or is that just poor training, poor follow-up? What do you think about that?
For the biggest sense, at the beginning of an incident, it's going to be a little chaotic, until there's some command and control that could be established. And that goes for every incident.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, every time something happens, the first, you know, 30 to 45 minutes may be a little chaotic, organized chaos, which I like to call it. But once the command post is set up and identified through, you know, the commander that's on scene, then it starts to iron itself out.
Mm-hmm. So Everett, you mentioned earlier on that upgrades to the phone system. I know that there are a lot of plans and new upgrades and plan, you know, afoot. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about what those plans are, what new developments you've got going and plans going forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, as we move forward, you know, we've been investing in emergency services. You know, within the past 5 years, we've built a state-of-the-art training center for the for the all first responders. The fire departments use it, EMS agencies, law enforcement agencies, kind of bringing everybody together, giving them the opportunity to train together, work more cohesively. We're in the process of designing a new government operations center where it would house the PSAP and the EOC, so the 911 center and the emergency operations center, bring all of our divisions within this department under one roof. We're kind of spread out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of allow us to work more cohesively together through the planning process and be prepared for when incidents actually occur, bringing everybody to one area to work together. Right now, like Mike mentioned, the EOC is down at the sheriff's office, but our 911 center is in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not next to each other. So, you know, as we start in one spot, we evolve, we're moving to a different location. That location's small. We really don't have the facilities to manage incidents that occur in our county for, 180,000 plus residents. So we're working on that upgrade. We're working on an upgrade to our radio system for interoperability between fire, police, and EMS. Right now, police and EMS are on one frequency, fire is on another frequency. So we're working on interoperability for that, for more cohesive working relationship, as well as our phone system. We're upgrading our 911 phone system, mm-hmm. which is due for an upgrade. But again, that allows our phone system to roll directly between Ulster to Dutchess and vice versa, where we're already on the CAD system. We're able to take a call and push that call to the other county, and they'll have all the information rather than trying to transfer the call to the other county. And they have to ask all those same questions over again.
Right? Oh, I so see. Right,
this
right,
is going
right.
to, streamline the process and get responders out to those in need a lot quicker.
Uh-huh. And with a county, the geographic size of Rhode Island, are there gaps like in radio, receiving?
Yeah, geographically, the topography of Ulster County, we all know that it's absolutely gorgeous, right? I mean, we have gorgeous mm-hmm. mountains, we have gorgeous hiking mm-hmm. areas, mm-hmm. But topography kind of hurts the radio, the waves, right, of mm-hmm. how we're going to communicate. So we're working on addressing that with the radio system, a few more towers mm-hmm. And making that work better.
And what are some of the challenges? We only have about a minute and a half left. What are some of the challenges, with the system itself? I mean, in terms of, I know there are, volunteer agencies are having trouble with recruitment because of the time commitments. And what are the top challenges or one or two challenges you see going forward?
Well, I mean, recruitment's a big thing and sustainability of the system. So, a lot of people don't know that the fire service, some of our EMS agencies are volunteer. So that becomes a little bit of a problem. And volunteering takes up a lot of time. There's a lot of training. Our firefighters and EMTs and paramedics are highly trained. Mm-hmm. And they need to do training consistently to ensure that they're able to perform when called upon. So it's a time commitment, In today's day and age, we're all working a little more, a little extra, and it becomes hard. And that's why we're losing volunteers.
Yeah, time is really a precious commodity these days. Well, gentlemen, unfortunately, we are running out of time very quickly here. I want to thank you and for your leadership, your colleagues, your staff, the many, many volunteers out there. We are very grateful for everything that you do to keep us safe and to prevent disaster. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, nice to have you guys. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.